Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, March 8, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Rudy Salazar there. You heard a voice that you need to get used to hearing. You need to become familiar with that beautiful voice. You may not hear it too much after spring training's over and the regular season starts, but then after that, maybe next year, you're going to hear it a lot. And I will force you to hear it a lot. I will play it. You know what? I'll play it this year when he's in the minors. I don't care. That's Bobby Witt Jr. Get to know it. Learn it. So Bobby Witt Jr.'s kicking ass in spring training, which is really all we can ask of him, right? Just keep it rolling and keep doing it once the minor league season starts, and we can have our daily conversation as to when Bobby Witt will be called up by the Royals. And that will lead me to several questions of J.J. Piccolo later this week. So we've got that going for us. We'll talk some more Royals later on. We've got some comments from Jake Junis and one of my favorite signings, the underrated signing of utility man Hanser Alberto. Some comments from him. And also, talking about kicking ass in spring training, Michael Taylor, who has been nicknamed Michael Tater in spring training because he likes to hit home runs, apparently. But he has looked good. And so maybe the Royals will strike gold with their center field solution in Michael Taylor. So we'll talk more about that as we get into the Royals. But this is basketball week as, boy, oh boy, we get the conference tournaments. Already conference tournaments going on around the nation. I'm very angry because UMKC women and men both lost close games in the quarterfinals yesterday of the Summit League because I was watching. Oh, I was so mad. The hey, come to find out, Summit League officials suck too. Officiating, it's consistent. It is consistent. So after the officials, and they actually had a ceremony where the officials presented the Western Illinois women with the victory, which I thought was, I thought that was out of bounds when they had a ceremony and said, here, we're going to give this, and the game wasn't over, which I don't remember seeing anything like that. But they gave it to them. They just handed it right to them and said, hey, we're going to call fouls on back-to-back plays that aren't really fouls and get you four quick free throw attempts so you could win by, so you could win by a bucket or whatever. Yeah, I think they won by a point. But then, of course, UMKC missed a couple of free throws late, so that hurt. And then last night, I was fighting it. I was trying to stay up because the men and our friend Billy Donlin, they were playing at 8:45 Central start, and they were down double digits, and then they made a furious comeback to where they actually had the ball down two with about 12 seconds left, and they drove to the basket. McKissick drove to the basket, went up, and got undercut, and clearly got fouled, and if you can believe this one, Nate, they didn't call it.
Swallow the old whistle.
And so then South Dakota State rebounded it, and, you know, immediately, so UMKC fouls, and clearly there was more, they said it was 0.1 seconds left on the clock. Clearly there was more. And Billy Donlin, we've talked to him numerous times on the show. He seems like a pretty even-tempered guy. I haven't seen him blow up yet. And the referees showed no inclination, and they always do this, don't they? What do they always do in a situation like that? They go over to the table and take a half hour to figure out how much time's left on the clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always do that.
Mm-hmm.
You never, they, you know what? They love doing that. They can't wait to go over there and put the headset on and, nope, there's not 0.4, there's 0.5. And they take their time doing it. This time they ain't doing it. And dude, Coach Donlin was, he was flipping out. So then they're getting ready to, and so then they let South Dakota State shoot a free throw. So then Billy Donlin calls a timeout and he is screaming and trying to get their attention. And you can see him say, are you going to see if there's more time left? And they did. And they took it from 0.1 to 0.8, but not enough, but very frustrating. Very frustrating to watch that. So I thought I was going to see both the Ruse teams in the semifinals. Now I will see nothing. Now I will see no more of the Summit League because I don't care about those other teams. But we have the brackets. I have them right now, hot off the presses, the brackets for the Big 12 tournament and the SEC tournament. And let me tell you, if you want to see some top-notch officiating, don't watch the SEC tournament. Watch something else. Have I expressed that yet this year?
How
I
feel once
about
or twice.
SEC officiating?
Once or twice.
Ask me about it right now.
What do you think of the officiating in the SEC?
Horrible.
Okay.
Not okay!
It's horrible.
Hmm.
You want me to elaborate?
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yes.
So, let me go ahead and tell you. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen in the Georgia game. I don't know if it's going to happen if Mizzou advances. I don't know if it's going to happen in the Arkansas game. Go ahead and mark this down on your calendar for this week. There will be a segment where I bitch about SEC officiating, win or lose. So go ahead and, Rudy, go ahead and, can you book that for Thursday or Friday, please? Go ahead
yes.
and carve out 15 minutes for us where I will not, I'm not even, I won't even host. Nate will host and he'll interview me. I'll call in from my cell phone. And it'll be a segment about he can ask me different questions about SEC officiating because I really want it to feel like March Madness. So I think that'll get everyone going. Hell, we could do it before the tournament starts, whatever you want, Nate.
Okay.
I'll be your guest. So however you feel you want to handle that, you book me and I'll be happy to comment on and off the record, whatever you want, man. I'm here to help. So see, Rudy, I already got you a guest. You don't have to worry about it later on.
Booking the show.
Makes my job a lot easier.
Oh, by the way, George Brett's going to come on with us every week for the next 4 weeks.
Pow.
So we got that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard
yes.
of that one, Stan?
Yeah, I've heard of George Brett.
George Brett said no. Then I said, Rudy's running the show right now. He goes, okay, I'm in. How does that make you feel, Rudy? Good?
Makes me feel real good.
That's a legend right there that you were able to entice to be on the show.
I assume he thinks, you know, it's the famous Rudy and not me. But, hey, I'll, you know, win's a win.
Kind of are the famous Rudy in Kansas City.
That's right.
Now.
Game recognizes game, Rudy.
Ahem. Big 12 tournament bracket. Are you ready? Shall I unveil this to
yes.
the listeners? So, shall I unveil it to you? Rudy, give us, you know what?
Can we get one shining moment, maybe?
One shining moment. Give us the CBS basketball. If you give us whatever you got that
Ooh,
you think
yeah.
makes you feel good to think about basketball. So it's the 2021, and you know what? Excuse me if I'm excited about the conference basketball tournaments. I didn't get them last year.
Right.
And even though Mizzou lost to LSU on Saturday, I'm still fired up because I don't get to see Mizzou in the NCAA tournament very often, and they're in. That Florida win got them in. And so I get to watch March basketball with teams that I follow and care about, and I'm very excited, or on Twitter, I would say I'm V excite. And so let's go to it. The 2021 Phillips 66 Big 12 Men's Basketball Championship at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, Missouri. Oh, this gives me chills. Also, I have the window open. It's probably what's giving me chills. Sorry. First round, Wednesday, March 10th. 5:30 p.m. on ESPN, number 8 TCU against number 9 Kansas State. Nick, your thoughts?
Well, that's always the game where it's hard to tell which team is which, you know, because they have the exact same color scheme, and one's in white and one's in purple. And
look
like
B-Web.
It's gonna be that should be a decent game. You know, K-State won at TCU, so I think that's it. Hey, for a Wednesday game, I say decent game.
Pick.
I thought you were calling me Nick.
No, pick. This is our pick with Nick segment.
Okay, pick with Nick. I like that.
We're gonna get that sponsored pretty soon, so just do it.
I'm gonna go K-State. I think K-State is gonna find a way to do it again, get themselves a second day in Kansas City.
There you go, Wildcat fans. The pick with Nick has you going to the second round to take on Baylor. Then the 7-10 matchup. I'm old enough to remember when Oklahoma was the number 7 team in the land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also old enough to remember when Oklahoma was the number 7 team in the Big 12.
That time is now.
Right. And so we will get number 7. Well, it's still number 7 in front of them, so what's
right.
the difference?
Top 10.
What are you complaining about, Oklahoma? You're still number 7. Good God. Number 7 Oklahoma against number 10 Iowa State, 8:30 Wednesday night on ESPN.
Well, if Iowa State's going to have any magic, it's going to be in Kansas City, right?
And this would this shock the world?
Well, I don't know if the world will be paying attention enough to be shocked by this.
Would it shock the T-Mobile Center?
I think it could shock the T-Mobile Center.
Right.
I give Iowa State a chance in this game.
Do you really?
Yeah. Oklahoma's not exactly flying with confidence right now. And Iowa State's been playing better. They've been playing close games, and they always play well in Kansas City, although the fan situation with Iowa State won't be what it normally is. Right. I'll take
they
the Sooners.
They were 0-18 in the conference also. Just throw that out there.
Well, you know, you can't win your first one until you do. So
right.
But I'll take the Sooners.
All right. Out there on the limb.
Mm-hmm.
So the winner of that game will advance to take on Kansas. Ooh, ooh, ooh! All this bad mouthing you've been giving Oklahoma could come back to bite you in the rear.
Could,
because then we turn the heat up, don't we? Or do we?
Thirsty Thursday is gonna be a fun one.
Why is it Thirsty Thursday?
I don't know. Because we're hanging out in the Miller Lite Hoop Central.
You got to be thirsty or what?
No, I mean, if you're going
to
drink
Miller
Lite.
Oh, I thought you meant like on social media, you know, people are thirsty. That doesn't even have to do, you know, drinking, you know, you're like a, you know what I mean? Like you're on the prowl or something.
Oh, I see.
So you could take it, you have to kind of. You have to kind of clarify what kind of Thirsty Thursday you're promoting for. Which it could be both. I don't know. Who am I to judge anybody? If you're thirsty,
right.
Go after it.
Right.
Go get it.
Right.
Quench your thirst at the Big 12 tournament. At 10:30 in the morning, Bob Huggins leads West Virginia against number 5 Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State, without Cade Cunningham, just beat West Virginia 85-80. All right, then. Bob Huggins gets another crack at Oklahoma State. So the 4-5 matchup at 10:30 a.m., West Virginia and Oklahoma State. Then at 1:30, the number 1 seed, Baylor, will take on the winner of TCU-Kansas State. Nate has guaranteed that to be Kansas State, so Baylor-Kansas State. K-State fans, go ahead and book your hotel room for Wednesday night because – Nate has you staying until Thursday. Baylor and Kansas State. Then we'll see if Nate puts his money where his mouth is. Number 2, Kansas. And I know that's why you're giving Iowa State a chance, because you want it to be Iowa State. I figured you out.
No, that's not true.
Don't act like you. It is 2.
I think
Iowa State could really do something here.
I think for KU.
Wouldn't you love that?
As a resume builder, playing Iowa State actually hurts you, even if you win. But playing Oklahoma, you know, they could actually, that could be a resume building win. So it's better for KU to play Oklahoma.
You want a piece of Todd Lebo in
the
Sooners, don't you?
I want a piece of Todd Lebo. I want a piece of Lawyer Lance. I want a piece of Jason Epler.
Let me tell you something. Lawyer Attorney Lance will sue the pants right off of you.
That's right. But I know Mike DePasquale. I dare him.
If you talk like that. Well, Mike will say, hey, Nate, you got this. I'm not messing with Lance Sandage. And so we're hoping for number 2, Kansas, and number 7, Oklahoma. Boy, I want that to happen. We'll have so much fun Thursday morning on the show. We will harass Lebo. We'll call him. We'll text him. And then the nightcap. And that makes sense if it's Thirsty Thursday. Number 3, Texas, and number 6, Texas Tech. That's going to be at 8:30. Rudy, what's your favorite? Before we break, what's your favorite possible quarterfinals matchup for Thirsty Thursday at the Big 12 tournament? What will you wrap your arms around of all those fine matchups?
I mean, I think we want to watch Kansas-Texas, right? Like, it's a little bit of that chance to redeeming, like, kind of show that maybe the 30-point loss at home was a little bit of a fluke, maybe.
Well, it took them to overtime in Austin.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like the chance, right? Like, get a little bit of that revenge game.
So you want it to eventually get to Kansas, Texas in the semifinals? That's all you care about?
Yeah, that's all I like to see.
You're just looking right past Oklahoma. Wow.
Oh, sorry. Did you say? I thought you said semifinals.
I said the quarterfinals. No, it's fine. You don't. You just look right past.
Yeah.
No. You're looking right past Oklahoma.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
fine.
The funniest thing would be Oklahoma losing to Iowa State. Either way, it's either KU beating Oklahoma or Oklahoma losing to Iowa State. It would be funny, but I think the Lebo is fully ready for an Oklahoma loss to Iowa State. My guess is he will call it on the show today that Oklahoma's going to lose to Iowa State.
And don't forget, on Thursday, Kansas pregame will start at 4 o'clock, and then the Kansas game against the Iowa State-Oklahoma winner will tip off at 5:30 right here on Sports Radio 810. And then on Friday, right here on Sports Radio 810, we'll have both semifinal matchups of the Big 12 tournament, 5:30 and 8:30. Saturday, we're going to have the Big 12 championship game. We're going to have the SEC semifinals. And on Sunday, the SEC championship game, Selection Sunday, March Madness, everything, Hoops Madness, Picks with Nick. It's all happening this week right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I was telling you what the schedule is coming up concerning basketball right here this week on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is much like Nate on Thirsty Thursday. This schedule is loaded.
Yeah.
So sit back and listen. So Thursday, as I mentioned, Kansas pregame at 4, then Kansas versus the winner of the Iowa State-Oklahoma game at 5:30. And then on Friday, we will have the Big 12 tournament semifinal, game 1 at 5:30, game 2 at 8:30. So we'll be looking forward to that. And then on Saturday, big day, with we'll have the SEC semifinal, game 1 at noon. And then we're going to have a Sports Radio 810 Championship Week special, followed by Big 12 championship pregame, and then the Big 12 championship game at 5 o'clock. Followed by the ACC championship game at 7, then the Pac-12 championship game at 9:30. What else do you want, Nate? SEC semifinal game 1, Big 12 championship game, ACC championship game, Pac-12 championship game. Back to back to back to back to back. Is that too many backs?
Back to back.
There's a lot of backs in there, so trust me on that one. And then on Sunday, after you listen to Dr. Andrew Jacobs at 6 a.m., Nate, because that's your morning ritual.
That's right.
And then the ship with Darren Smith at 10 a.m. will have the SEC championship game at noon. Rudy says look for Mizzou to appear in that game. Boy, I don't know if I'll go that far, Rudy, but I sure hope you're right. And then the ESPN selection Sunday at 3 o'clock. And then the Sports Radio 810 selection Sunday with Josh Briscoe at 4:30. Rudy, will you listen to that Selection Sunday show despite Josh Briscoe hosting it?
Well, so I actually am I'm expecting a new niece to come into the world on Thursday. So
Wait, my guess is
I'm going to be a little busy on Sunday. But hey, if I need her to fall asleep, I'll just turn on Josh's voice. And no, I don't think she'll like that.
You don't want that to be the first thing poor kid hears when she comes into the world.
That might just make her cry.
Yep.
Are you excited? You seem to me like you'd be a good uncle, Rudy.
Yeah, I have a 9-year-old niece and a 3-year-old nephew, so I'm very excited.
Oh boy, getting a big stuffed animal, cigars for the father. I mean, everything. You got to go out there and take care of business.
Yeah, so we don't even, and obviously it's because of COVID and everything. So they'll go in on Thursday, but the only people allowed in the hospital, so we won't even see them until Saturday or Sunday, whenever they come back. Because the only people allowed in the hospital, obviously my sister and then my brother-in-law. So I will be watching my niece and nephew over the weekend, just kind of waiting for them to come home with the new baby.
I tell you, it would be surprising if they did not allow your
it'd be weird. Be yeah.
There, you know, that would be, I think that'd be different. Have you watched the new Tom and Jerry movie with your niece and nephew?
I have not seen it yet. I heard Alex Gordon's in it, though.
Yeah, he hits a home run in it. So it's exciting for everyone. You like that, Nate?
I do like that. My kids want to see that.
We watched, we watched it the first day it was released. And see, I like it. They can't get along. They still can't get along. They're at each other's throats, this whole damn thing. And so, being someone that always rooted for Tom, it's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. But I was excited to see Alex Gordon hitting a home run at Yankee Stadium in the Tom and Jerry movie. You didn't know that happened, did you?
I did not know that. Wow.
I don't think Alex Gordon knew he was in it at first.
It's very exciting, though. I can tell you that. I think that would be a good selection for you, Rudy, as you're waiting for the new niece to arrive, right? The Tom and Jerry movie is a good one that just came out, and then what did you watch Coming to America, Nate?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I think that's going to be a spring break one when the kids are away down on the farm with Grandma. I think Mom and I are going to watch that one.
Oh, you gotta. So it's not gonna be just you?
No, I think Kelly and I will watch it together.
You think she'll get mad?
I don't know. Will she? You tell me.
I mean, well, you have a certain sense of humor. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, does she? Look, here's the deal. Let me tell you about somebody coming to America. If you're like between the ages of, I don't know, Nate and Lebo, you know, all in that area. Mm-hmm. How old are you, Nate?
40, just turned 45.
Yeah, well, you know, younger, like 35 or whatever, and you remember the first one, you watch the first one, you understand it, and you know, that time period, late 80s, early 90s, you experience that, you'll get all the references, you'll get the references of the first movie, if you love the first movie. There's a lot of people crushing it online. Like, what do you expect? Do you think it was going to be a Best Picture nominated movie, worthy of an Academy Award? It's like the first one. The humor is the same. It's funny, and it made me laugh and made me feel good and was nostalgic for 2 hours.
Well, you know, comedies never get the type of rating they should because movie critics lack sense of humor, for one thing. And for another thing, yeah, everybody hates everything anymore. So that, like,
right.
if you look on social media for...
There's too many people that say this is funny. Let me tell you why it sucks.
Yeah, there's...
Great. It made me laugh out loud like 5 or 6 times. And if a movie can do that in an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes, thank you. I'm in.
That's how my family watched WandaVision. We were into that. That was our Friday night routine for the past couple months. And we loved every episode of it. And, you know, I guess people on social media hate that too. So whatever. We
Susan got mad because I was laughing too loud. But Tracy Morgan made me laugh. Wesley Snipes made me laugh. Leslie Jones made me laugh. Eddie Murphy made me laugh. Arsenio made me laugh. The barbershop scene made me laugh.
All those people that you just referenced always make me laugh. Like, Tracy Morgan always makes me laugh.
When
you know?
Tracy Morgan called Arsenio Benson, like, a lot of people are going to get that reference. But Benson Dubois.
I remember that.
Remember?
Yep.
No, you Benson. So, see, I just made you laugh referencing a movie you haven't even seen yet. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so the SEC tournament, since you wanted me to bring that up, Nate. first round standalone, where will you be on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock when the SEC Network features Texas A&M and Vanderbilt?
Not watching that game.
Rudy, you going to watch that with your niece and nephew?
I will not be watching Texas A&M and Vanderbilt.
Hey, kids. Uncle Rudy's coming over. We're going to watch A&M and Vandy.
Why, Uncle Rudy?
You know, I hope my nephew will love basketball, but I want him to like it,
Right.
Not hate
right.
it.
Hey, kids.
I don't like Rudy's, basketball anymore.
Uncle Rudy's got a big surprise for you. We're going to watch Scottie Pippen Jr. tonight. Uncle Rudy.
They might be a little too young for horror movies also.
Whoa. Then in the second round, at noon on Thursday, you'll have Mississippi State and Kentucky. Rudy,
yes.
Give me a quick early preview of the noon game on Thursday between Mississippi State and your Kentucky basketball squad.
I think Kentucky, they looked surprisingly great against South Carolina over the weekend. They rolled South Carolina. I this feels like a game that they come out and they handle Mississippi State pretty well because they are playing better and there's just a talent gap. And it's going to get Big Blue Nation a little excited.
There we go.
Then they're going to play Alabama in the next game, and Alabama's probably going to roll them. Because
Alabama's
really good. They're a fun basketball team to watch. All they do is shoot threes, and they're really good at shooting threes.
I smell an upset. I think Kentucky could give Alabama some problems. And then at 2 o'clock on Thursday, Florida will play the winner of that showdown between A&M and Vanderbilt. Then at 7 o'clock... in a rematch of the game that nearly made me take my computer monitor and throw it out the window, Georgia and Missouri. Georgia on my mind. That was of the making me furious rankings. That was in the top three of Mizzou losses this year. So we'll see if the 10 seed Georgia will make me hate basketball again on Thursday night as they take on the 7 seed Mizzou. Nate, what will my mood be after that game?
A chance for revenge for Missouri here, so I think you'll be happy. I think you guys are going to win that game and move on to the. Would that technically be the third round then?
I don't know. That's the second round.
I don't understand the SEC bracket.
Listen to me. All you got to understand is the first round is A&M and Vanderbilt. That's the entire first round.
Right.
That's a good first round, isn't it?
So that means if Missouri wins, they go to the third round.
No, that's the first round. Yeah, then they'll go to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
That's when the quarterfinals, third round, whatever. And then South Carolina and Ole Miss in a game that I would encourage everyone to skip at 9 o'clock on Thursday. There's zero chance I stay up for 1 minute of that game on a Thursday night because I'll either be celebrating or I'll be texting John Sunvold and Jarrett Sutton asking him why Mizzou can't beat Georgia. But no, Nate says Mizzou's going to win, so I'll be feeling good and looking forward to a rematch against Arkansas on Friday. And that would be at 7 o'clock as well. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Rudy is playing Jack White because he knows I love Jack White and I love this song. So crank this up for a little bit before I talk. Come on. Thank you. Now we talk about the Royals. Oh, boy. All right. So the Royals won a couple of games over the weekend, and yesterday they beat the Padres 4-3. And we're going to hear a little bit later from Jake Junis about his performance. He looked good again. The cutter looked good. Three innings, one hit, one run, no walks, four strikeouts. So another good outing for Jake Junis. That's very good. And as I said earlier, another victory for the Royals over the weekend, and another home run from Michael Taylor, who hit his second in the sixth inning yesterday. But let me take you back to Saturday as the Royals beat the Giants 8-6, and a young man by the name of Bobby Witt Jr. led off, played second base, and went 2-for-3 with two runs scored and two ribbies, including a home run. And so I love him. I mean, I don't think that's too strong for me to say this early. I'm just going to go ahead and declare that to let people know where I'm coming from when I'm talking about him. I love him. And that's all there is to it. So, like, what are you gonna say about that, Nate?
I say nothing.
Right. Because you know it's real.
Yeah.
But Bobby Witt Jr. And Bobby Witt Jr., Rudy says he likes, Rudy declared Bobby Witt Jr. a good interview.
For somebody and his age, you know, who obviously hasn't necessarily been in the big leagues, a lot of time those guys will give very, very short answers, and his are actually good length.
Here's the thing, man. He grew up with a major leaguer as a dad. We've learned this with Patrick Mahomes, you know, and a lot of different, you see it with Fernando Tatis Jr., these guys that grew up around the game, around guys that showed them on a daily basis. Like, we talk about this, Stephen, the dinner table conversations in our childhoods were probably very different than the dinner table conversations right at the Witt household.
Yeah, just look at my dad. You know, I grew up around my dad, so now I cuss and yell at everyone.
See? Hey, all right. Right. That's right.
Let's hear from this polished Bobby Witt Jr., as Rudy calls him. Bobby Witt was asked about how he felt so far this spring.
Biggest thing for me is just to try to go out there and have fun through it all, really, but also try to learn as much as possible. Just being around the big league guys, as well as the summer camp last year, just knowing how they do things, how they go about the business, because this is my ultimate goal, to be a big leaguer, and they're already there. So I just try to watch them, ask them questions, and do that. And I've been pretty much doing that throughout the whole camp, and I felt a lot more comfortable with just all the positions that I'm playing now, and just at the plate, and just being around the coaches, and then just them teaching me and helping me. And I just really felt like pretty much back playing the game that I've always played, and nothing really sped up too much, really. And now I feel really comfortable, and I feel like this is where I'm kind of supposed to be right now.
Mike McFarland's going to get so pissed off at me when I start demanding Bobby Witt Jr. be called up right in the middle of the summer. He already told me, he said he needs to leave him alone for a whole year in the minors. And I just told Mac, I don't want to. I know it's best for him, but I want to know what's best for me, and it's to watch Bobby Witt Jr.
Yes.
Well, maybe we shouldn't place expectations on him either way.
There we go.
In terms of, there's a chance. I'm just saying that let the performance of the player dictate his readiness. You know, that's what Peter Vermees says all the time. The player's going to tell you when they're ready.
Soccer reference, talking about Bobby Witt Jr. There you go, Rudy. I told you, it happens quick.
I thought it'd be better to reference Peter Vermees than Allard Baird, who used to always say that, too.
No. But,
you know, every person's different. Every player's different. And so let the performance of the player dictate his readiness, instead of us saying, oh, it's got to be this time. Whether that's too soon or too late, whatever, let's see how he does. Right now he's doing great, and he seems to have the right attitude.
Let's hear more from Bobby Witt. He was asked about his home run that he hit on Saturday.
Yeah, just first at bat, I was a little still upset, kind of missed the pitch on Cueto, but then just stuck with my plan, just trying to stay right center with the submarine and try to get the runner over, and it just found the barrel and just let it fly, and it went out, and I was excited for that. Just kind of helped the team get up there, and then just kind of went that way, and I had a lot of fun out there today.
Oh, Bobby Witt Jr. faced Johnny Cueto as I quietly wept in my chair.
Johnny Cueto had two scoreless innings and four strikeouts against the Royals.
Johnny Cueto?
Yeah.
Johnny Baseball? Baseball!
Here it is.
Play it. Crank it
Muy
up, baby.
Fuega?
Bobby Witt missed a pitch off Johnny Cueto, so we celebrate. Johnny Baseball.
Yes,
and
he will.
The best thing about this song is he said yes, and he did help us win a World Series.
I just love the falsetto here. Yeah, Fuega.
But see, like, if he didn't help us win a World Series, why would you want to listen to that song?
Yeah, but he did.
But then when you hear, like, oh, he did help us.
Yep.
So there is our worlds collide as Bobby Witt talks about facing Johnny Cueto on Saturday. So that made me happy. And then Bobby Witt hit a home run. One more. Let's hear Bobby Witt talking more. Let's go to the fourth clip, Rudy. Bobby Witt was asked about facing established pitchers like Johnny Cueto and how he feels going up against those guys.
I feel like I'm almost more locked in facing those guys because I've seen them pitch on TV, hitters and stuff. And so I just feel more comfortable against those guys because I know they're going to be around the zone and they're going to try to pitch to their strengths. And then hopefully my strengths add up to theirs and just go out there and just compete. And that's the most fun thing about it is competing against those guys that got however many years in the league and just try to get after and try to beat them. So it's just been a lot of fun doing that.
What was going on in the background there? It sounded like he was at a deli. Number 75.
It happened a couple times where it almost sounded like the PA announcer was like bleeding in through the Zoom. Like he was also on the Zoom call.
Number 75, your order's ready. Number 75. Bobby Woodshaw told us about facing Johnny Cueto. I didn't know what happened. It confused me. Did that make you happy to hear from Bobby Witt Jr.? It sure made me happy, Nate.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That was a future superstar, Bobby Witt Jr. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Again, there were some interesting results over the weekend in the Big 12 that led us to the seeding in the Big 12 tournament. Oklahoma State, I think, surprised a lot of people and won at West Virginia. Was that surprising to you, Nate Bucati?
I thought it was shocking. Like you said earlier, with no Cade Cunningham, I didn't expect I didn't expect Oklahoma State on the road to really have much of a chance in that game at all. Avery Anderson III, I think, had 31 for Oklahoma State. That was we need to maybe get some Bob Huggins postgame from that. I can't imagine. He was too thrilled after that game. But, yeah, I was very surprised by that one.
Bad news also because, look, we talked about this last week after Cade Cunningham left that game late with that ankle injury. We didn't know. And, like, Mike Boynton said, hey, I'm not going to say anything until we talk to the professionals. But, I mean, he doesn't play that game with it being cautious. I mean, we'll see in the Big 12 tournament. But I just, man, that's going to suck if he's not 100%, if that prevents him from playing or if it prevents him from playing at a high level, because that's the kind of kid I want to see on that big stage and see how far he can take Oklahoma State.
Well, and the thing is, I hate to say this, but if I were in Cade Cunningham's shoes, like his ankle, I get it, see?
Wow.
I don't, on the one hand, like, you love to see a kid tough it out and go out there and play through some pain and all that, but this kid is not very far away from a massive payday, like a massive payday.
Right.
You know, do you really go out there if you're not 100% and risk anything if you're him? I know it's a problem that a lot of people have with college athletics right now. The kid from Duke opted out. We see a lot of college football players these days opt out of their bowl games and all of that. There was always that question with Joel Embiid. You know, could he have played? Should he have played? Was he just trying to take care of himself for the draft? I don't know. But I really can't blame any kid who's that close to making that much money being really, really careful about it. I just can't. So I don't know what he'll do. We'll see. You know, hopefully he's healed up, and that's not a question he even has to answer. Hopefully he feels fine and go out there and play, because he's the kind of kid you want to watch. I mean, you pay money to see a guy like that play, that kind of talent.
On Sunday, Texas Tech lost at Baylor 88-73. And Texas won at TCU 76-64. But then the other result back on Saturday was Kansas State winning against Iowa State 61-56. And so K-State finishes the regular season winning 3 of 4, and they play TCU in the opening round of the Big 12 tournament. So they have every opportunity to win 4 of 5 and advancing in the Big 12 tournament. So, look, I know K-State fans aren't happy with 8-19 and 4-14, nor they should be, but at least they've got something to be positive about at the end of the season, as opposed to Iowa State. And I know that you're trying to talk them up a little bit. Ah, they're close and everything else, and the close game. Dude, they finished 0-18 in the conference. You ever think you'd see that from Iowa State?
No. No. Not at all.
Good God. Right?
Yep. I mean, Iowa State's been good at basketball the vast majority of my life.
That's a terrific basketball program, and it's one thing to have a down season. But 0-18 in the conference. That seat's got to be on fire, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. But the timing is not great to be making administrative moves or coaching staff moves in college athletics right now when everybody's losing tens of millions of dollars.
Right. They don't want to, yeah. but that kind yeah. of forces the hand there. You know what yep. I mean? That's like, yep. okay, what are we really going to sit with this? That'd be interesting to see how Iowa State fans would.
Well, I know the Iowa State fans I know are you know, they expect this to be over. You know, they expect a coaching change to happen. So, but you know, one thing about K-State, by the way, they lost Antonio Gordon. Bruce Weber was pretty vague about what's going on. I think he said overall health issues. He referred to stress and physical issues. So, thoughts go out to him and best wishes to him going forward, whatever ends up happening. Sounds like he's going to be out for whatever remains of their season. So K-State's going small. I mean, they're basically going with four guards in their lineup. And so that'll be interesting because they're not a good shooting team. You know, they win games if they hold teams in the 50s is what they've got to do. And now they got to do it, minus one of their big men. So we'll see how that affects them in the tournament as well.
We'll be back after this on WHB.